This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is part of our episode, Religion and Science. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. At the turn of the 19th century, a group of public health advocates fought to change the way Christians had practiced an important ritual for hundreds of years. Barrack Wright starts us off in a Southern California church where you can see the legacy of this group's work.
So I'm pouring the grape juice in the little dispenser.
Pastor Matt Doan of Calvary Church, Santa Ana in Southern California, is showing me how his church prepares for communion. We're in a big kitchen. Matt's fitting small plastic cups, each one about half the size of a shot glass, into deep silver trays.
We have Welch's grape juice. That's kind of our favorite juice here. Poured in the individual cup.
During a communion service, Christians reenact the last meal Jesus shared with his disciples by eating a piece of bread and drinking a bit of wine or grape juice.
It's a joyful moment as well as kind of a reflective moment. So one of my favorite parts of being a pastor and being part of a church community.
But the way they serve the grape juice at Matt's church, in these little individual cups, is an artifact of a debate which started in the mid-1800s about the risk of catching a disease from a shared communion cup. There's another way of serving communion. Participants walk to the front of the church, take a sip of wine or juice from the same chalice. The officiant wipes the lip of the cup, and the process repeats for the next person in line. Lots of churches still do it this way. For most of human history, we knew you could get sick from other people, but it wasn't clear exactly how. During the 1860s, scientists in Europe landed on the idea that it's germs, these microscopic, hostile agents which enter your body from objects in your environment and make you sick.
At the time the germ theory is introduced to your average American, the leading causes of death were still infectious diseases.
This is Nancy Toms. She's a historian of medicine and U.S. culture at Stony Brook University in New York.
Many parents knew the pain of losing a child very early in infancy or toddlerhood. People paid attention because they didn't want to die. They didn't want to see their relatives die.
Armed with the germ theory, suddenly we knew in order to go after disease, you have to go after germs. There was a motley crew of physicians, political activists, entrepreneurs, and religious crusaders who took it on themselves to go after germs. Let's call them sanitarians. Sanitarians targeted kissing as a possible source of contamination, among other things. In an 1888 medical journal, one doctor went after the poisoned chalice, or less dramatically, the shared communion cup.
People were really easy to scare.
But some of the sanitarians pushing churches to adopt individual cups had mixed motives. For example, some of them were preoccupied with the moral cleanliness of society. They literally say cleanliness is close to godliness and mean it. Others owned companies which sold individual communion cups. An editor of a Methodist newspaper writing in the 1890s named James Buckley detected still another motivation for switching to individual cups. Racism.
In a New England city from time immemorial, the custom has been for the colored people to come last to the communion.
James Buckley had heard of congregations serving communion to white people first whenever they happened to be in church with black people. And he observed individual cups would take this a step further by letting white Christians avoid drinking from the same cup as black people entirely.
I mean, it's not just African Americans in the South, it's also new immigrants who really get the brunt of this idea that you're new, you're coming in, you don't look like me, ergo, I'm going to assume the worst about your germ status.
You could hear this paranoia in newspapers and labor union pamphlets from the time.
The Irish, dirty to an unbelievable degree.
Plague-stricken men and women, rushing naked
about the
streets.
Brothers, wake up! The almond-eyed Mongolian is waiting to assassinate you with one of his maladies.
It's just so easy to see this kind of protection as protecting yourself against the person rather than the microbe.
By all accounts, writer James Buckley, who defended the common cup, seemed on board with the germ theory. Throughout his editorials, he was just asking scientists to prove the science behind individual cups, without the racist element.
The work before us is to estimate, in light of science and experience, the amount of danger.
Eventually, James Buckley concluded for himself that the risk of infection from the common cup wasn't significant enough to change a ritual defined by Jesus and upheld by Christians for thousands of years. Plus, he thought the traditional approach to communion better embodied the kind of radical solidarity Christians should feel towards the poor and the marginalized.
All classes and conditions of men were among the triumphs of the gospel and admitted to all the privileges of the church.
Ultimately, lots of Protestant churches turned to individual communion cups for different reasons. But James Buckley's initial concerns that racism was operating in the background of some of these decisions kept resonating. Almost 100 years later, Martin Luther King Jr. famously called out the enduring racism in American churches.
I think it is one of the tragedies of our nation, one of the shameful tragedies, that 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is one of the most segregated hours, if not the most segregated hours, in Christian America.
And what about James Buckley's bacteriological predictions? I asked Charles Gerba, an infectious disease specialist at the University of Arizona, the question which kicked off this debate. Just how risky is it to share a communion cup with someone else?
So probably, even though a person may be ill, put some virus on there, but the process of wiping it off and maybe some of the antimicrobial activity of the silver in these cups, that seems to largely reduce the risk.
In other words, you're more likely to contract germs on the door handle leading into church or shaking someone's hand after the service than on the lip of a communion cup. You already know how to protect yourself. Just wash your hands.
Barrick Wright reported the story.